listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Thursday and live from Las Vegas, 200 Fox Sports radio stations across this great nation, 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. And it's Thursday night football. I mean, think about that a second. Thursday night football. And I'd make the case one of the biggest games of the year on Thursday. I mean, right up there with any other of the big boys. The Dallas Cowboys. We got Brad Powers in studio, one of the pros who know. Steve Fezzik, study day. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Joan. It's not.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL, where Week 14 kicks off later on tonight, 8:20 Eastern time on Fox. It is the Cowboys at the Bears. Dallas right now on pregame.com is a 3-point favorite. And RJ, I know you guys, and you being the voice of Vegas, understand how high the stakes are.
Yeah, and for the Cowboys, it feels like a big game. It really does. It's national TV. What's Jerry Jones going to say after the game if they lose? How does it affect literally Jason Garrett's job? I hear you. If you look at the math, if you get out the abacus, it's not that important. So, Brad, 538 does projections.
Yep.
What Dallas's odds to make the playoffs entering the game?
66%.
All right. So that's about 2/3, I think.
Yes.
All right. 66%. If they win the game, what happens?
It only goes up 9% to 75.
So nice tick up, but not gigantic.
No.
And if they lose the game?
Only down 7% down to 59.
Wow. So remember, we did this, Jonas, with Houston and the Colts, right? If I remember.
Yeah, a couple
Thursdays
ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like one. If one team won, they went to like 80, and the other team went to like 20. Remember
yes.
that? It was this gigantic swing.
Yep.
Here, with Dallas, little tick up, little tick down. What about the Bears?
Oh, how about this? Entering tonight's game, the Bears only have a 3% chance to make the playoffs. If the Bears win, 5%. If they lose, less than 1%.
Ooh. Now, it begs the question. Will Chicago potentially not be fully motivated? The theory is we win the game, we're still 20-1. What's the difference? I think because it's a national TV game, everyone's watching. Also, it's against the Dallas
yes.
Cowboys. And also because Nagy's gotten a lot of heat. Who are we kidding?
Yep.
And also, Trubisky's gotten even more. He's about as hot as you can get and still be standing. I don't think a horrible game does anything but horrible things for, especially for Trubisky, but somewhat for Nagy.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of reasons Chicago plays this baby as hard as possible. You agree with that, Jonas?
Yeah.
Gut feeling?
No, I agree. And look, both these teams have been in battle. They've got quarterbacks that have been criticized, you know, for various reasons and for, you know, different because the owner is obviously more involved with Dallas. There's a lot of criticism that comes with all this. But when you're on national TV and it's a standalone game, the Bears look pretty good on Thanksgiving. Dallas looked terrible. And so here we are colliding a week later. You can't use a short week as an excuse. Both teams have the same amount of rest.
I agree. And that's a key point. And I actually overlooked that for a day or two. I'm going to be honest. Thursday they played. Thursday they're playing now. 7 days. Now, I still think it's a negative for Jason Garrett, because I think Jason Garrett's going to handle all unusual situations that aren't clearly, here's the best way to do it. If you got to use your creativity, you got to use your decision-making. I know it sounds ridiculous for someone that went to Princeton, right? He went to Princeton? I don't know, Northwestern Princeton? I guess we got some really bad, supposedly good schools. But Jason, now listen, I don't think that's even fair. It's fun. I mean, Jason Garrett's making millions of dollars, so I think it's okay. Part of the millions, like when on Twitter, when people bash us, Brad, I tell you, that's the price of what we're doing.
Yep.
Right? Is you're going to get people bashing if you say The Godfather's a good movie. No matter what you do, you're going to get bashed, at least by 5% of the people. It's the price of admission to be a national voice like you, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. I think for Jason Garrett, a little bit of fun, poking fun at him, a little bit of hypercriticism is the price of admission. But I don't think he's stupid. I just think he's not a very good NFL-level coach. I mean, Jason Garrett, though, and this is always boring to say, so I'll say it quickly, is probably one of the 100 best football coaches in the world.
Yep.
So how many people are you top 100 in anything in the world? That's the question. Most people aren't. And it's kind of like the old Anna Kournikova, right? Everyone made fun. Oh, she's nothing but TNA, she's not really, I think she was like, I think at her height, like the 14th ranked tennis player in the world. It's like, yeah, no, she's no good at tennis, number 14. Yeah, she's the 14th best player in the world. But when you're playing the other 13, it's not so good. Jason Garrett's competing against the best football coaches in the world, and he's struggling. I would make the case that maybe so is offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Let's give Colin Cowherd credit here. Very, very interesting take he had. He said, I got out my yellow notepad. That's when he does his big plus minus, you know, pro con. And because I'm trying to understand, he goes, and I did it and I did it and I did it. And finally he said, I realized the really experienced, excellent defensive coordinators, that's who Dallas was having trouble with. Why? Because they have a young, inexperienced Kellen Moore. How old is he? 31?
Yeah, 31.
I think so. Early 30s. And not a ton of experience. Now, I thought that's interesting because this 31-year-old got a lot of accolades early when they blew out the Giants. You heard a lot of people on the Talking Head show saying, well, there's this guy, Kellen Moore, you know. So at the time, what I felt was we all think of these jobs as single jobs. Like Nagy, for example, is a great offensive mind. I don't even think that's a debate. Is he a leader of men? I don't know. What I know is, as a head coach, you've got your X's and O's you got to worry about, and you've got a lot of other things to worry about. Managing egos, managing your own coaching staff. And when there's turmoil, let's give Mike Tomlin some credit, man. Some turmoil this year, he stepped, he was a leader of men.
Yep.
I wonder where that was when they had the chance to win the Super Bowl the last 5 years. But okay, as a fan, I appreciate what he's doing this year. Nagy's done the opposite, it feels like. As things started going bad, it felt like they got worse. You agree with that, Brad?
I do agree with that.
Joe, it didn't feel like Nagy did an average job handling the turmoil.
Yeah, he made a comment last year, and I've always remembered this, because he said when they questioned him on a decision he made in a game, and it was a strategic decision going for it on a certain down, I forget the exact play, but he said, you know, much like these guys are going to get better, I'm going to get better too. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that, that these coaches, I mean, they're in their first year, second year, you know, they're still learning as they go along. The difference is some of them don't get a second or a third year. You either have to figure it out and be good when you've got the opportunity, or you're just done. And I feel like Nagy has got himself in some spots this year to where, you know, maybe like why he made the decision to punt the ball away after being awarded a penalty in L.A. against the Rams. That was either he had no faith in the offense or he just didn't understand the situation.
Yeah, and to me, you know, this being a guy that's done, you know, hundreds or thousands of hours of national radio, it's not as easy as it looks. Sometimes there's a read. Sometimes you got a hard out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got a caller that's gibbering and or jibber jabbering, and you know me, I'll just hang up. But you try to be nice. It's there's a lot of stuff going on. If you really read about Tony Dungy, who, as much as Dungy just seems so mild-mannered now on the NBC show, he is considered a real innovator when it comes to the way to teach the players a simple decision-making tree with the various decisions they might have to make. So it really is one of those things like, okay, you only got seven choices in any given game. We're going to practice those seven nonstop instead of doing it intellectually. It's going to be about muscle memory. No one talks about that, but there's some serious thinkers that have talked about Dungy really innovating in that arena. So to me, the idea of saying, okay, this guy, and let's go back to Nagy for a second, is he's not as good at, let's say, leadership of men. Will he eventually be? I mean, maybe. And Jonas makes such a great point, is the idea that in the heat of the moment, sometimes you got to learn. You can't think about it. You look at Belichick, what's one of the most famous decisions he ever made? It was not to call the timeout in the Seattle game. Why? Because the discombobulation, the difficulty of doing it in the moment is gigantic. And he won a Super Bowl because of that decision. And I think Nagy maybe has to learn that. He maybe has to learn some other things. And hopefully he'll have long enough to do it if he's the talent that deserves to be in the NFL. Belichick went 5 years with the Browns, made the playoffs once, got fired. Then there was five more years he was back under Parcells. Imagine that. You finally get away from Parcells. I mean, who's a tough cookie. And then you're back with Parcells. And now he's considered the greatest coach of all time. How old was he when he got that Patriots job? I mean, think about it. He's almost 70 now. He was probably 48, 49. So we'll look that up. But the idea that the greatest coach of all time was a massive failure.
48.
48 years old. You would have said, as a head coach, this guy is Wade Phillips level, right?
Yep.
It'd be like 5 years, horrible. He's a coordinator, Peter principal. Now, the question is, in this day and age, are the second chances as plentiful? I guess if you're Adam Gase, you don't even have to wait, which, again, I find troubling. So let's swing it all the way back around. Kellen Moore's job as an OC is not just the scheme, because I think unequivocally Dallas went more modern, improved with their more modern scheme. Agree?
Yep, absolutely.
On offense. Now, I think the play calling, problematic. And that's a skill you need to be an OC, but it's different than the scheme. Then, well, how about him player development? I don't know. But think of all the different, you could be a great scheme guy, but be a bad OC. Or you could be an okay scheme guy and be a great OC. A lot of football coaching is very interesting. I think we've uncovered some numbers that actually back up Colin Cowherd. And the theory being, maybe this is about coaching on the offensive side of the ball. Let's quickly go over them. Dallas, Brad, just as an offense. And maybe points we should go by?
Yep.
Where do they rank?
points per game, Dallas is top 10 in the league. They're seventh.
Number seven.
Yep.
So that's, in theory, their baseline of how good the offense is. In the red zone, when coaching matters the most, Dallas is number 17.
Mm-hmm.
So down.
Red zone touchdowns.
Red
zone? If it's just points per possession, it's 14th. For touchdowns, they're 17th.
All right. Points per possession, 14th. Touchdown percentage, 17th.
Yep.
They're seventh, though, in the core offense. Why would they be worse? That's a place coaching steps up, especially when you have such playmakers like they have.
Yeah.
Then, well, when does coaching matter even more game period wise? Early in the game. Remember Nagy, the 20 plays, the script. Once he gets off script, you hear that all the time, right? Well, if you look at Dallas, number seven overall, number 21 scoring in the first quarter. Number 21. And then what's the other time that coaching is supposed to matter? Adjustments. So it's script coming in first quarter, adjustments after halftime, third quarter. Dallas is number 15. Now in the second quarter, they're number six. In the fourth quarter, they're number five. So once all of the coaching and all the script is kind of done, the adjustments have been adjusted for, they're great. When it's just about the Joes on the field, not the X's and O's, as Brad says, this Dallas team is even better than number seven. But when it's the first quarter and a script, they're number 21. When it's the third quarter and adjustments, they're number 15. And when they're in the red zone, anytime during the game, Dallas is number 17. In every spot, the coaching historically is considered to matter the most on offense. Dallas is significantly worse than they are during the whole game. Colin was on to something. We put the math behind it. When we come back, bonus time, baby. Best bet, bonus prop. And then we're going to have a pick on the game before the end of the hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, we've been talking about Thursday night football, and I know you and Brad Powers both have a pick on opposite sides that you guys are going to get to before the end of the hour. But right now, you've actually got a bonus best bet.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to start doing this maybe on Thursdays just to finish the year. And this one is strong, strong, strong. And producer McKenzie, could you write for me the Twitter account on this? We want to attribute. Always want to make sure we attribute. Very important. Occasionally, I don't get attributed. I can't
occasionally?
Lie. Occasionally?
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I would say. And we'll give the attribution in a moment. A guy on Twitter really uncovered this, and we dug deeper. Dallas in the first quarter on the road just does not score. And they actually play very well on defense. So it's a situation that you want to look at the under in the first quarter. Now, the under is 7.5. So the over-under is 7.5 in this game. And that's low. Still, under. And here's the math. By the way, the guy is PointShaver13 on Twitter. And he uncovered this. In the last 17 road games for Dallas, they've gone under 16 times.
Wow.
If you had just bet under road games, Dallas first quarter. Under road game, Dallas first quarter, 16 winners. And then the other one is a push in some spots and a loss in some. So it could be as good as 16-0-1.
Wow.
And that was actually against the Lions. It came 10 points. And that was on November 17th. Now you might say, well, RJ, that's a heck of a streak. And there's really nothing to say except wow on that one. But how's it look otherwise? Well, at home, Dallas, and this is in the Prescott era. So since Dak started, is if you look at all away games, 7 overs, 22 unders, 2 pushes. So 16 of 17 of late, but still, all of them, 7, because, you know, you can cherry pick a streak, 7 overs, 22 unders, away first quarter. Well, what about home? Does it go to crap at home? No, actually. 13 overs, 18 unders. So everywhere Dallas is low scoring offensively, but good defensively in the first quarter. On the road, so much more. And on the road of late, going back to December of 2017. So we're moving literally into two calendar years of road games. Under in the first quarter, 16 times under, one time not. Can you guess the bet, Jones?
Well, I was wondering whether or not you would have held on to this for another few weeks before now you talked about it nationally and the people in Vegas were going to figure out.
You know something? I got to be honest with you. That was one of the biggest decisions I had to make about taking this job. Because seriously, is I can't do it if I'm going to hold back.
Right.
And I mean, with Brad, when he came into pregame 3 years ago, what did I tell you? It was, you can't hold anything back. You got something? Because there's nothing worse than these wannabe wise guys, or some of them are wise guys, that go on media and go, I can't tell you. Then why are you doing the interview? Right? No one's making you do the interview.
I've got the lock of the century. Call that.
Well, no, these are guys usually that are just batters, and they want to have some, they want to kind of get some fame, right?
Yeah.
And then they go on and they won't give anything out. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, gives it all. Probably too much sometimes, some would say. TMI. Now, let's talk a little bit about Dallas quickly. Last thing before we have our crossfire at the end of the hour, Brad. Dallas is 6-6. They are plus 74 points on the season. So it means they lost some close games and won some blowouts.
Yep.
Think Giants. Plus 74 points. 6-6, 500. Seattle is 10-2, plus 36 points. So literally Dallas has over double the point differential, 36-74, 36 for Seattle, 74 for Dallas. Dallas is 6-6, Seattle's 10-2. So I get it. I am staked in the ground that Seattle is overrated. I get it. Everyone on Twitter tells me how wrong I am. We'll see. The only thing that worries me a little bit is the idea that they have gotten better with Clowney, with the safety from
Diggs.
Detroit. And I'm not rooting against Russell Wilson. Now, what everyone says is, well, RJ, you got to assume Russell Wilson is going to win those close games. Well, we debunked that yesterday, Brad. Up until this year, so from 2012 through and including 18, in one-score games, Russell Wilson's straight-up record.
31-33, a loser until this year.
So below 500.
Yep.
A drunk baby flipping coins would have probably done better.
Yep.
This year, he's done exceptionally well. Unless you want to make the case, oh, he somehow figured it out this year. I don't know. I'm going to watch, but I'm not going to keep quiet about it. I still think Seattle is overrated. Final thing, though, is Dallas just bad luck? Or is there something, and we talked about it earlier, about, yeah, they get the yards, they get the points, but they don't get the points in the highest leverage situations, it seems. That's how they're 6-6.
Now, RJ, speaking of the NFC East, you have a conspiracy theory regarding one of the teams at the bottom of the NFC East, and that would be the New York Giants.
And I'll tell you this, the more I think about this, the more I say it to people that should know, the more confident I am in this. Jonas, let me ask you, Hawkeye, did you see Daniel Jones' injury?
I did not.
How many cameras? Well, you know, if only the NFL had enough cameras at these games, we might have seen it.
It was one of those one-camera shoots, like back
in
the old days.
I mean, honestly, what injury have we seen to a starting quarterback in memory that we, when they talked about it on TV, from then on, the B-roll behind was the injury itself? Every time?
Yeah.
Without exception.
Yeah.
Oh, well, wait. There is an exception. How did this happen? I was on New York radio talking to Michael Kay. Now, there's a guy you think would know, right? I said, did you see the injury? He said, no, I didn't. We've been talking about this, he said. So even in New York, they're talking about it. I think that Eli, I think they, hey, Daniel Jones had, what, three interceptions?
Yep, three picks.
He's been fumbling like it's going out of style. Yes. The thought was he would break the all-time lost fumble record for a quarterback. That's not a good thing to
do. No, it's not.
They sit him, let him rest, let Eli. Now, what are they worried about now? Home crowds? Does Eli maybe draw some more people
into
the stands?
Money.
And even if somehow Eli's worse, it reaffirms they made the right decision. They get to tell him goodbye. Joe Namath with the Rams style. And there you go. But they still made more money that way.
Yep.
What do you think, Jonas?
No, I like it. And also to add on to the there's always a camera angle, when Trubisky went down with his hip injury that people thought he got benched for on Sunday night against the Rams, I mean, it was like the Zapruder film. There were different angles. There were different everything. And it, as it turns out, no, he legitimately did have an issue with his hip. But we knew that because we broke down every play leading up to that and said, ah, that's where it was. And there was nothing with this Daniel Jones injury.
And is here's the question, though. Is anyone asking this question that you've heard?
No.
So why is that? Is it, or is there a special email list that all the company people, you know, the company men, I'm not naming any names, but we know who they are, the ones that get all the interviews. Like, I don't want any interview, right? Then you start doing those interviews with the players. Like, what are they going to tell you? Right? Play. Yeah. That's what they should do. They're not announcers. They're players. It's like me playing. Them talking is like me playing. It's about the same thing. I'm not saying none of them are good talkers. It's like that's not their job. So I'm not worried about those interviews. You know, I'm not a fan of Deadspin. I can't lie. But you got to appreciate they're way back in the day. It was the, what was the saying? Something, it was the perspective without access or something without access. They were saying we don't get access and we don't want it. Because access compromises you. I just wonder, is there a special email distribution list that says, hey, guys, let's not go too heavy on the exact nature of Daniel Jones' injury. Would that shock you? Are you on that list, Jonas?
No, I'm not on that list. Weekend overnights, we get excluded from some of those guest lists.
Yeah, yeah, so I just wonder, do you think that exists? Do you think there was a whisper, hey, just leave this one go?
I probably. It wouldn't surprise me. I also think that people have sort of forgotten about Daniel Jones and the Giants, and they just assume, well, listen, he's a young quarterback. He'll figure it out because he had that really good first game. They have not paid attention since. All he's done is turn the ball over.
I agree. Though he did have a nice run on interceptions where in the middle of that, or up until the last game, he wasn't throwing the INTs. But net, he's a turnover machine, as they say.
Yeah. 21 turnovers, 11 games.
Jesus.
And the machine broke down, and no one saw it, apparently. I've never seen... Wouldn't you say Eli starting is one of the five biggest stories of this week?
It's up there. I mean, there's a lot of key matchups.
But what I'm saying is it's one of the real pull-out stories of the week, and there's no footage on... Everyone's talking about Eli, and somehow there's no footage of Daniel Jones getting hurt. And, oh, no one's talking about it. Yeah, it's a coincidence.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
And, RJ, we've got a little bit of a crossfire between you and Brad Powers.
I'm not going to say it's going to be aggressive, but it's going to be aggressive. I'm going to give Brad a chance. He can go first.
All right, I'm taking the Cowboys tonight. Dallas minus the 3, but it's more...
You're laying the extra vig, too, right?
Laying the extra
vig. Take minus 115.
I thought this was a no-fit...
Go ahead.
Here, RJ. And it's more of a play against Chicago. Chicago team that, you know, if you look at the record, surging. Chicago's won 3 of their last 4 games. But let's dive deeper into those 3 wins. Specifically, who Chicago beat at quarterback in their last 3 wins. Chicago beat Jeff Driscoll, Daniel Jones, and David Blough. So a couple of Detroit Lion backup quarterbacks and the rookie Daniel Jones. They're not facing a backup or a rookie tonight. I like the Cowboys, Dak Prescott and company. Give me Dallas minus 3.
Okay, so the assumption of your argument is, Brad Powers, that somehow because Chicago's won some games, this line is somehow cheap.
Yeah.
But the line implies the famous 6-point swing. If we flip home fields, the Dallas would be favored by 9 with extra vig by 9. Does that sound cheap?
Does
it seem like the Bears are somehow like, oh my God, everyone's so high on the Bears, but they didn't see that Blau on Thanksgiving in the standalone game. They didn't notice that it wasn't Stafford. Is that what you're really saying?
What I was trying to say. I just took a right hook.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think this line, what would you, if you would have played guess the line, right? The where you didn't know the line yet, what would you have guessed this
probably
line?
Probably Dallas 3.
Mm. Then you would have been, and that's you having a bias towards Dallas.
Yes.
So you just said there's no value. Because if you're laying 3, that means you think it should be 3.5.
Yep.
I mean, I could go on. I will just educate the audience on some more things. We said it, and let's give Brad a little credit. We'll end the crossfire. It's over.
Yeah, that was the first matchup, Rocky 3.
But I got to be honest, this is such a teaching moment. And again, Brad is not an NFL guy. He has all the college knowledge, so I love that he wants to vet. Oh, by the way, whenever we disagree, $100 bet.
Can I buy out?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But here's the thing to me is that you're directionally right. No doubt if you just look at the Bears score, it's deceiving. You're right. But no one's gotten deceived. The market hasn't gotten deceived. You know, maybe you could make the case if somehow Chicago was the public team, that the public would have got deceived. They're not looking to play Trubisky. Think about it. When you make a bet, you're effectively saying, I want this guy to be my surrogate. It's almost like when you play a video game and you want to be the pirate, or you know, you get to pick who your character is or your avatar. You want someone cool, right?
Yep.
There were some battles in my house. Now remember, an Italian house in the 80s in Monopoly. I wanted to be the hat. And no one wanted to be like the, you know, the iron. Remember the iron?
Yep.
Who wanted to be the iron? Well, the iron is Mitch Trubisky in this case. Who wants to have that be their avatar? Nobody.
No.
No recreational batter. So you, Freddie Fanny Pack, Barney at the bar, you guys are all in Dallas. And that's another thing you got to worry about is if you and the guy walking down the street with a fanny pack eating a Twinkie on a stick on Fremont Street's on the same side, how can that be the right side?
It isn't long term.
I mean, it could be in the rarest of rare cases where the premium that Barney and Freddie cause is still overcome by some other factor that Barney and Freddie are oblivious to. It happens. And people might say, RJ, Dallas covers all the time. Blah, blah, blah. Team XYZ covers all the time. Any team's going to cover over 45% of the time in the long run. And almost no teams are going to do better than 55. But the difference between starting out at 52, remember, you got to only win 52.4% of the time. Well, it breaks even. It's 52.38. All right. That's break even. If you've got a situation because a team's super public that they're only going to win 48% of the time, all things equal, you've almost doubled what you got to overcome, 48 to 52.4 over 50. Now, if you take the other side, you're almost taking care of the vig before you even handicap.
Yep.
That's the trick that people don't get. They say, RJ, who cares? It's 51%, it's 52. Well, you're either doubling effectively if you take the square side like Brad Powers did in this case, in the losing crossfire, you've doubled what you've got to overcome with your handicapping. You take the other side, the Bears, my side, the smart side, the sharp side, the vig's already covered. Now it's just, can you be a couple percentage points better through your handicap? And if so, you're profitable. But think about this, Brad. In college, you're the most contrarian guy. You're never going with the hot new school laying the 13, right?
Yep, never.
But in the NFL, you're better than 99% of people, but you're not.
I'm not better than you.
You're not a true expert. What do? You gravitate towards the more obvious picks. That's what everyone does. You got to be willing. In fact, we'll tease ahead to my best bet tomorrow. I'll give on Friday's show, 6 Eastern. You got to be willing to look stupid to win at sports betting. My pick tomorrow could very easily look stupid, but I feel strongly it's going to win far more than 52.5% of the time. My pick, Bears, I'm not sure if it matters. Brad's pick, the Cowboys.